Hello neighbours, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. Today we leave the province and head once again to visit our close cousins in Iceland. Can you grow farmers at school? Or are they created and moulded by everyday experience in the field and barn and greenhouse? Or is it both of those things? The folks I talk to today would believe the latter. They're convinced that there is a need to provide college or university level training for aspiring farmers, even if they've spent their early years on or around farms. I'm at the Agriculture University of Iceland, a lovely campus with lots of good land and some fine barns in Kvanary, I think it's pronounced something like that, in Iceland. And their arguments are rather convincing.
We choose this profession because we love to be with nature and with animals. It's not to become rich or something like that.
No.
I think it's also really important just to see how other people are doing things. Well, maybe your parents are not doing things the easiest way.
Is it also like a different kind of studies? You get to know your teachers and you can work very independently as well.
Am I supposed to be honest now? Or? It's tough to get into the business. It's a huge financial cost to buy a farm.
Full disclosure here, I've been to this campus a few times before. In an earlier life, I even tried to get Memorial University to have an articulation agreement with the Agriculture University of Iceland. Somehow, it never quite happened. I still think that we have much to learn from each other. These interviews were completed before our own College of the North Atlantic started its Agriculture Technician Co-op program, but it raises the question about whether Iceland's experience is a model for us. It's a bright October day. We start in the administrative building, warm, full of wood, what you'd expect. After some strong coffee, I sit down with one of the program directors. Join us.
My name is Ólöf Ósk Guðmundsdóttir and we are at the Agricultural University of Iceland.
And you grew up on a farm?
Yeah, I grew up on a dairy farm in Kjós, in Hvalfjörður, which is whale fjord.
Okay, were there whales there originally?
Yeah, in the fjord, in the bottom of the fjord, there's the whale station.
Yes, I've driven past there. And what's your position here at the university?
I am the head of the vocational department of agriculture.
For those people who maybe haven't heard of the Agriculture University of Iceland, those few people, tell me just a little bit about what kinds of courses are offered here or what your department is in particular.
So actually, there are two departments in the school. So there's the university department and then there's the vocational department. And the vocational department also has a few under departments. So we have the agriculture here. And then in Hveragerði, so on the other side of Reykjavík, there's the horticulture department. And then we also have like lifelong learning, so for adult education, all kinds of short courses. But the department that I am head of is two-year studies for students who want to become farmers. So we teach courses like how to take care of animals and how to breed and feed and how to make fodder and how to work with machines and tractors and how to run a farm and take care of the books. Those are mostly obligatory courses, and then you can choose what you're interested in if you're interested in learning more about cattle or sheep or horses, for example.
Would these students be people who grew up on farms, or they're just interested in farming, or both?
Both. Well, it's most of them grew up on farms, but there's always also some students that come either from Reykjavík or from Akureyri or somewhere. But usually they have some kind of connection. So maybe their grandparents had a farm and they went there, and so they somehow have an interest in farming.
How important would you say it is to have those two-year programs available? Because sometimes people grow up on farms and they think that they've learned it all. How important is it to have a different way of learning about what you're going to do as a professional?
I think it's very important because there are so many things. I mean, of course you learn a lot by doing, but concerning like how to run a farm, that's something that maybe you don't learn. Well, you have to be really interested if you start asking your parents about how to do all the books and stuff. So I think that's quite important, and I think it's also really important just to see how other people are doing things. Well, maybe your parents are not doing things the easiest way, and you can always learn by meeting new people and seeing new things. And of course, from reading books and seeing, learning about research about new things, it's very important. And I think today the public is maybe more aware. They are they're watching what everyone is doing. So it's important that we do things well, so that we don't have to be ashamed of anything mm-hmm. that we are mm-hmm. doing. So we have to have we want to have good welfare and good standards, mm-hmm. high standards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we think it's important that people leave their parents' farm for a while at least and come here. And also a big part of it is that you get to know a lot of people, so you get like a social network, because the farms are quite rural, so mm-hmm. maybe you don't meet a lot of people, mm-hmm. only the people around your farm. But here we have people from all over Iceland, so you can make contacts from all mm-hmm. over, and so then you have friends with the same interests, and you can also exchange knowledge and just have business mm-hmm. relations later mm-hmm. on. So mm-hmm. I think it's also a very important part.
Yeah. The shorter term courses or lifelong learning, with some of your students who did the program then come back every once in a while, is it like during the winter or something and do an additional course?
That's the idea. Actually the courses now are all kinds of courses, so it's not only our students, it's just all kinds of people and not only farmers actually. But I think the idea to have this education originated from that, mm-hmm. that we would like to have our old students coming back. And of course some of them are doing that.
So is it available by distance too? So if I was somewhere in the East Iceland, I could still take them?
Some of them are. And actually our study as well is available for distance learning. Yeah. This year we took 10 students that are actually farmers. So and one is living in the east and a few in the north and some in the south. So they are already farmers, but they did not come here first.
Okay.
So now they thought they wanted this education, but they're already farmers, so they cannot leave for 2 years. So then they can do this by long distance, and then it takes 4 years.
So
they do it a little bit slower because they're running the farm.
Students in Newfoundland can do that, except it's an Icelandic.
Yes, it's all in Icelandic, unfortunately. But I mean, they could learn Icelandic first.
Sure, that would take another 5 or 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Is farming popular? Like, how is farming in terms of the culture in Iceland these days? Is there a lot of respect for farmers? Do young people grow up thinking, oh, I'd like to be a farmer?
Well, I think it's a little bit difficult to say. I mean, I think if you grow up in the city, you don't even think about it. I mean, you're not thinking, I'm going to be a farmer, because there's not so much, they're not really in touch with farms. But I think everywhere else, then I think it's quite popular. And we can see it here because we have quite a lot of applications for the school, 50 to 60 applications mm-hmm. per year. So I think that's quite good. And we cannot accept everyone that is applying. So if we think about that, then it's quite popular. But of course, not everyone that finishes the studies becomes farmers. They also go in different directions. Yeah, I think it's quite popular in the rural areas. But of course, some people think that, oh, it's hard work, and then maybe they should study to become an engineer or a doctor or whatever and do something different, less manual. We have a growing number of vegans. And part of them think that the farmers are not doing well because, most farmers in Iceland have animals, and then they're slaughtering animals for meat, and of course the vegans, people who are vegan, they don't appreciate that. Yeah. So if I think of that group, then it's not popular, of course.
Right.
But I think in general, most people are positive towards agriculture in Iceland, and I think that farmers are doing well in Iceland. The welfare is quite good.
It seems like increasingly agriculture is connected in with tourism, which is a huge industry of 2 million people a year coming to this country. Is that increasing? Do some of your young farmers think that tourism would be one piece of what they do?
Yes, I think so. It is growing, and we have been offering a course in agro-tourism. Not everyone is interested in that, because some think that they prefer working with animals and not with people, they don't want the tourists. But I think it's getting more popular to think that this is one possibility, because not everyone can have sheep or cattle or horses or something like this. But this is one possibility, and it can be so different. I mean, you don't only have to have a hotel. You can do whatever you think of. Then welcome tourists to see what you are doing. And I think it will still grow and be bigger.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good thing, and I think we should be able to welcome people everywhere and to all kinds of farms, also to the pig farms and the poultry farms.
Yeah. Is there a song that I could put sort of under this or somewhere, a song that you'd sing to the cows as you milk them?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
Or an artist?
Well, my favorite artist. Yep. Maybe you can use her. Her name is Emiliana Torrini. She's yes. Icelandic, yeah. half Italian. That's what the name yeah. is like.
I think I've actually got, I bought one of her CDs once.
Yeah, I think I would definitely play her to my cows and they would milk a lot more. she sounds really nice, yeah.
Friends tell me it's spring. My window shows the same. Without you here, the seasons pass me by. I knew we were not new, that loved like me and you. All the same, I miss you. Today has been okay. It's been okay. Preacher lost his son. He's known by all in town. He found him with another son. On the prayer, never mind what God said, but love had lost its cause, and I thought today had been okay. Today has been okay. Today has been
That's Emiliana Torini, and Today Has Been Okay, by request of my guest, Olaf Oshk Gudnstadter. We begin this section by talking about the impact of tourism on agriculture here in Iceland.
The other thing about a tourist is that they eat different things. Something I understand that they, you know, like they really want to eat pork and chicken, and so it means that there's a demand for more pork and so on. Yeah, are there certain types of farms that are increasing, like just because of different changes in diets?
Well, I think the biggest influence from this is that we are eating less lamb than we used to eat. So the demand for lamb meat is lower. So the sheep farmers are struggling. But that the tourists want pork, well, it's mostly they want bacon for breakfast, I think. But that's actually, I think we just import more for that. But what I think the pig farmers are, I mean, they are thinking, and I heard there's one, well, it's actually a company that is running 3 pig farms, and they are thinking about expanding because the demand is quite high now. Mm-hmm. So that it's good, but still there's a lot of import, especially of pork meat and chicken. So it's difficult for them. They have to compete with some European countries, and it's a little bit difficult to compete in prices. Well, it's very difficult, of course, because we have much fewer farms and smaller. Yeah. But we would like to, of course, just increase the production in Iceland. And I think it's much better for the environment that we just produce for us.
There is another university, the Holar University College, that does a horse program. Is there a connection between them and the agriculture university here?
Yeah, there is some connection. We have a program in the university department that allows students to stay 2 years here and then go 1 year in Holar, actually. So there is some collaboration. So we don't teach much about horses, but of course, horse is still an important part of agriculture. So we teach about, I mean, horses in general, but not so much about riding.
But you do courses in like breeding and looking after horses, you know, just as you would with dairy cattle or sheep.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And then a little bit about riding and training, of course, because if you want to have horses, you have to be able to handle them.
Yes. So you yourself are interested, you and your partner, in taking over a dairy farm. So you're not just an academic forever. You're trying to grow food for people. What is it about dairy farming that is attractive to a young person like yourself?
I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's really obvious, but I think it's just attractive that you can run your own business and you can control your own time and you can work with animals and in beautiful nature and in the place that you grew up. It's just the perfect plan, I think. It's just the cows are, they're smart and they're fun to work with.
And these are all Icelandic cattle, the dairy breed here.
Dairy breed is only Icelandic, so we mostly have Icelandic cattle. But we have three foreign breeds for the meat production.
Would you start up a tourism business as part of it, or that's sort of down the road?
I'm open to it, at least, definitely. Close to the farm is an area with a lot of summer houses, so it's actually a lot of traffic close by, so it would be easy to get people to stop by. So if we need something more to do, then definitely we'll do something. We'll do something with the milk at home, make ice cream or cheese or whatever. Yeah.
What's the average size of a dairy herd here?
It's 40 cows.
40 cows.
And it's been growing.
So there's a quota system, I think, is there in Iceland? So you sell to your quota and...
Yeah. Well, you don't have to have quota. You can sell your milk without quota, but you get a lower price. But if you have quota, then you get a quite okay price. Yeah. And there's one company that is owned by farmers, and it's the biggest company that is collecting milk and processing milk and selling milk. Right. But then there are smaller companies that are buying milk from this company and processing it differently and marketing it differently. Okay. We don't have a lot of companies working in this, just a few. Of course, we are not so many farmers, just five or six.
Is there a tradition in Iceland of farmers having co-ops like that or working together? Like you mentioned, the dairy, it's owned by the farmers and it's the largest one.
Well, we have that, and then we have it's called the slaughterhouse. Well, it's a slaughterhouse and the processing meat. It's also owned by farmers. And well, in 1930 something, we started making companies about importing and exporting products. So it's called Kaupfélögin, so it's like the buying associations. Yeah. And they actually got quite big around Iceland, so we had a big one in the north and then the west and the south and the east, and they would cooperate to get better prices for the product on the export, and then they would import, because they thought that the sellers, they were not doing well enough for the farmers, so then they thought they would do this together and on their own. But now these associations are not so big anymore. Well, they are big. It's big still in Skagafjörður, actually, and has a big business now, and is actually loaning farmers and helping them to build farms. But usually there are not associations around the farms exactly, so they're usually owned just by the farmers, and it's just family farms.
What's your favorite Icelandic food, Icelandic meal?
Really difficult question. I love lamb meat, of course, but it's really hard to choose, because I also love a beef steak, and also the horse steak. Did you try that?
Since I
you
have came had here? Horse.
Because that's actually really, really good meat and should be more appreciated.
It should. I was talking to somebody who said it's declining, like even Icelandic people are eating less and less horse.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Yeah. It's really good meat, and I think it's quite healthy as well.
Yeah, they're free range. They're out there.
A young horse, and I think the composition of the fatty acids and something is quite good. And it's really tasty. Yeah. So, well, I cannot choose, but it's some kind of steak.
Thanks so much for taking the time to chat.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was just nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Fun to talk.
Good luck with the dairy farm.
Thank you.
Burned your skin, the lovely air so thin, the salty waters underneath your feet. No one's gone in vain. Here is where you stay. Life has been insane, but today has been okay. Today has been okay. Today has been okay. Today has been
That's Icelandic-Italian singer Emiliana Torrini. Just down from Olaf's office, I meet up with another member of the staff. We also started by talking about agriculture as a career choice in that country. Here's a short excerpt from that conversation.
My name is Rosa Björ, and I've just recently started working here as head of marketing and PR.
Is farming popular in Iceland these days, do you think, among young people?
I think so. I think, you know, this university has the least problem of getting students to come into the farmer side of the studies. So a lot of them, that's always full here. And I recently read an article which said that we actually educate too few to be able to kind of take over all and renew all the people in the industry within a few years. So it's too few that graduate to be able to kind of withstand or keep the same numbers of farmers. But of course, everything is changing. With time, there are fewer farms who are kind of producing, and each one of them is becoming bigger. So that's also changing, I guess. But that side of it's always been popular and known about. We need to kind of get more students in the other departments as well.
I find it interesting because the province I come from has over 500,000 people. We have no education at this level for agriculture. And a big question is, how could we find enough people to fill a classroom? You come from a country of 330,000 and you're full.
Yeah. Well, when I say full, of course, the numbers are probably quite low, but big, if you say per capita, this school is not that big.
Yeah.
It's quite few, and the students aren't that many in each course. But still they have, you know, we are able to keep it going.
But it's pretty intensive in terms of the actual work that they do, so you couldn't have big classes anyways, probably.
No. Is it also like a different kind of studies? You're very intimate and you get to know your teachers and you can work very independently as well. So I think it creates a good kind of learning environment and people kind of like to be here.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for coming.
We'll hear more from Rosa Björk Jonsdottir in a future show. But for now, it's time to leave the offices and head to the barns. Just up the road is the dairy barn for the campus. I meet with one of the instructors there. He has a great sense of humor, although he gives me a hard time regarding my naively optimistic view of the Icelandic dairy breed. But it's good to be arguing about breeds of animals. It makes me feel like a farmer again. Join us, but you'll have to put on a set of boots and coveralls first.
My name is Egil Gunnarsson, and we are located in Hvanner, Iceland. And the dairy farm belongs to the Agricultural University of Iceland.
Did you go to this university as a student?
Yes, I did.
And you just loved it so much you decided to work here as well?
Yeah, let's say that. Got the opportunity to come back. Yeah. So
how many cattle do you milk here?
We milk on average 63 to 68 at any given time normally. And total we have got about 150 living heads.
And this is a teaching facility, so your students learn by doing, is that right?
Yes, teach them how to, you know, how to do simple tasks, everyday tasks, and we teach them cow signals.
Cow signals.
Yeah, it's how a cow is behaving and what is abnormal, how we do see the signs of it and what is affecting her. But we also, when they go further into their studies, we teach them just basic farm management skills. Like how to sit in front of the computer most of the day, analyze all the data,
fill out forms,
fill out forms and that stuff. In a certain point, we give them the responsibility they must for a few days take control care of the barn, and we are not really allowed to do anything unless step in if something is wrong.
Yeah. Is there a temptation that since you've got all these students working for you, you get them to do all the nasty jobs and you just get to do the fun stuff?
Of course, I do that.
Yeah.
Well, they are not, especially in the first weeks or even months, they're not so much of any practical use whatsoever.
They're more trouble than they're worth.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they take us more time to do the barn than normally it takes for us alone to do it, actually.
Yeah.
But after Christmas, I would say, they would be very good use if I were allowed to use them in that way.
Right. Are they part of a two-year program or 1 year? Or?
Yeah, that technical farming diploma, whatever we call it, is 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
And then we have the university degree as well. It's a three-year program.
Yeah.
And you can even go further here, can do master's or PhD. Yeah.
For the students who are here, how many of them do you think are going to end up on dairy farms of their own or others? Like, do they all basically, if they do all this practical stuff, they'll end up being a dairy farmer?
No. It's tough to get into the business. It's a huge financial cost. buy a farm, or so usually it's someone that are from a dairy farm or that are entering their parents' business, something like that.
Do you have robotics here?
Automatic milking. We have a Dilaval EMS from 2008. And it's a pretty reliable machine.
Do you still get your people to learn how to do it by hand, just in case the machines break down?
Yeah, we have one parlor set where we teach them the basic stuff, to teach them how to do it proper way. We want to get that experience from another farm, because they have that kind of parlor system. But we teach them the basic here.
So these are all Icelandic cattle that you're milking. If you had a dairy farm in another country, is there another breed you think it is as good as the Icelandic?
I'm not supposed to be honest now.
Well, I understand it depends on whether you want volume or not. You know, like the Holstein gives a lot of milk, but they're high maintenance cattle too.
Icelandic cows are also high maintenance.
Oh, are they?
We are.
I was told they're always easygoing.
Well, I'm really not nationalistic guys, but we really lack genetic variance in many traits, especially regarding they're pretty prone to mastitis, and they lack good traits in the udder, like how strong the udder is and the position of the teats. And you'll see the back line is very weak on them, and plus they're not that really high yielding. And
but they don't mind the weather, right?
They really do mind the weather.
There goes that too.
I hope no one in Iceland will hear this.
No, So what other kind of breeds, like, do they have in Norway or Sweden or whatever? Are there other breeds that you think are good as a, you know, as a dairy farmer yourself?
Yeah, they have Jerseys. They have they have Holsteins, and Norway has this. They call it NRF, which they have thought about 20 years ago to import here. That's a mixture of, I think, 20% Holstein and 50% Jersey, and then from their original Norway breed. They are a really healthy breed, for example. They're a really low maintenance breed. They have that reputation, but they are pretty much the same yield as, on average, as this breed, for example. So who told you this was a good breed?
The dairy farmers who said that they weren't as prone to disease. And that
that's because we are a very isolated island. And we don't, for example, for cows, we respiratory problems. Okay. They are non-existent. And if we get a living cow, they don't die. And we have no hoof problems. They are non-existent also. Yeah. But is it the breed, or is it the environmental? We are cold island in the middle of North Atlantic. So
if you got a stock of healthy animals of a Jersey or something like that, they probably thrive here as well.
Yeah, they would do.
Yeah. Is it the same for the Icelandic sheep? No, I've heard good things about the Icelandic sheep. Now you're going to spoil that for me too.
They are pretty good for their environment. Yeah. The difference is we make the environment for the cows.
Yeah.
But we heavily rely on what nature gives us in the sheep business.
Yes.
And we probably have a shorter gap between generation and the sheep breed.
Okay.
We have a higher fluctuation of genes. Yeah. It's more easy to breed them in any direction.
Right, and maintain genetics.
And throughout history, even though Iceland breed has been very isolated, especially since the 30s, we got like four very bad diseases with the import of Karakula breed. Before that, genetic importation in sheep was pretty regular. They're not as isolated genes as you think.
All right, well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I like the way that Egil Gunnarsson put it. We make the environment for the cows, but we have to rely on what nature gives us for the sheep business. Sure, and that could be a whole program on its own. We'll hear more from Egil in a later program.
I think today the public is maybe more aware. They're watching what everyone is doing, so it's important that we do things well so that we don't have to be ashamed of anything that we are doing.
We actually educate too few to be able to kind of take over and renew all the people in the industry within a few years.
And we have no hoof problems. They are non-existent. But is it the breed, or is it we are cold island in the middle of North Atlantic?
We choose this profession because we love to be with nature and with animals. It's not to become rich or something like that.
No.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador and sometimes Iceland Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The song for today's show was Emiliana Torini's Today Has Been Okay. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, was done this week by the Pennsylvania bluegrass band Boulevard Express. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
I hope no one in Iceland will hear this.
No.